Hello, and welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we are going to be discussing Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, which is a narrative adventure game developed by Starbreeze Studios and published by 505 Games. It is directed by Josef Ferris and has a lovely score by Gustav Greffberg. As always, it is recommended that you have played the game before listening, as we are going to dive deep, and in the abyss, there be spoilers. Without further ado, let's descend. Hello, and welcome to Deep Dive. Today we have Miss Everly Dawn with us.
Hello.
Say hello.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So today we are going to talk about a wonderful game that I just recently played on Everly's recommendation called Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, which is a narrative-driven adventure game with just a really intense story and a super unique gameplay mechanic, you know, as far as the controls go, that sort of tells its own story at the same time. I was quite surprised by this game. I enjoyed it a lot. Now, so how did you come to find out about this game?
I actually have no idea how I found it. I don't remember. Yeah. I remember being new to Twitch and looking for story-driven things that looked interesting. And this ended up being the first game that I streamed, just because I played it by myself off stream, and then it just grabbed me so much that I just wanted to share it with everybody. So it ended up being the first thing that I shared with everyone.
That's awesome.
Now I want everyone to play it.
which is I would definitely agree with that. It's very accessible. It's mm-hmm. It's certainly not a very long game. You know, it's only maybe 3 to 4 hours at the most. But it tells such a fantastic story and does a really wonderful job as far as immersion goes. So let's talk about, before we get into the intricacies of the game and especially the mechanics, which I definitely want to talk about. So let's just set up the story a little bit for those who haven't played it. So basically, the game starts off with, and I'm going to mix up the two brothers' names, Nai. It's Nai and Naya. Yeah. So the story begins with Nai, who is... Does it begin at the boat, or does it begin at the tombstone?
It starts at the boat, with the younger brothers in the boat.
Okay, so we start off the game with Nai, who is the younger of the two brothers, on a boat with his mother, and they're sailing through a storm, if I remember correctly. And unfortunately, just end up succumbing to the weather, and the mother dies during the storm while they're out on the boat. She drowns. So we see a flashback of this happen, and then we see Nai at the tombstone. Correct.
Yeah, we see Nai kind of trying to save his mother and not being able to, and then it cuts to the gravestone of his mother.
And pretty much immediately after that is when we sort of get ourselves set up into the main story, which is being called by our older brother to go to the doctor, right? To the village doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where our father is, and our father is clearly very ill, and most likely on the verge of death. And I say most likely because this game doesn't actually really have any audible dialogue. They speak their own language. So the entire narrative is basically told through gestures and sort of emotional inflection, I guess, that you kind of have to pick up on as you go. We are told by the doctor that the only way to save our father is to go collect water from a specific tree, which is apparently called the Tree of Life. And that's sort of the setup for the story is us, or, you know, the pair of brothers embark on their journey to get what they need to save their father. The way that the game is executed is super interesting. So now I played it on PC, and you do have the option to play with a keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
However,
it's highly recommended that you don't.
Yes, when you start up the game, there's at least a couple of different warnings that say this game is designed and basically required to be played with a controller. So it's sort of set up as a co-op game for one person. You control both brothers simultaneously throughout basically the entirety of the game. So your left stick and your left trigger controls the older brother, and your right stick and your right trigger controls the younger brother. So those are the only two things that you need to worry about. The controls don't get super complicated, but it's sort of a balancing act, trying to solve various puzzles and complete various tasks to progress throughout the game, which was super interesting and definitely very unique. I don't think I've ever played a game that controlled like that before.
When you're almost trying to teach yourself to try and get the left side of your body to cooperate with the right side of your body, basically. Mm-hmm. It splits you in two, effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that it's sort of a nod to being a sibling in general.
Mm-hmm.
When you start off the game, it's almost very jarring, right? To have to control both of the brothers at the same time with your left hand and your right hand. But then over time, you sort of learn to work together with yourself and accomplish what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. When you're also trying to learn, you know, if you think of those two halves, you're trying to learn what you're good at and what the other side is good at, and figure out how to make those two work together the most efficiently. Mm-hmm. Because there were a few things that, like, one brother or the other was able to do it, but maybe not as well.
The younger brother, Nai, can't swim. So anytime we run into a section with water, you are required to push your right trigger. So he grabs onto the back of Naya, so Naya can sort of, you know, swim them both across the water. So you're, of course, controlling him with your other hand at the same time. Whereas Naya, the elder brother, can't really get into, you know, tight spaces and things like that. Like, he's basically an adult, right? Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of times where you have to take the younger brother and, you know, squeeze through, like, tight little spaces to go pull a lever or whatever the case may be. So there is definitely a lot of, a lot of working together there.
And I think the game did a really good job at developing their characters as well through achievements that weren't necessary to the gameplay, but really added another level. And I know when I was watching you play, there were a few that you missed that are interesting. Ooh. So, like,
enlighten me.
Yeah. Do you remember when you found the little girl that had the ball and you were throwing the ball in the basket and that kind of stuff? Well, around the corner from that is a well. And there's an achievement for one of the brothers throwing the ball down the well.
Why would you do that?
The younger brother does it because early on in the game, if you do all of the achievements and see how each brother reacts to the different little interactions, you actually do see the brothers grow into something else. So, like, early in the game, many of the younger brother Nai's interactions with people is very childish.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go further in the game, they get more serious and more mature. So, like, early on, I think you had talked to one of the people and he was just kind of, like, making faces and saying nah, 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 at somebody or something like that. Whereas later he starts to actually try and express concern about people and things like that. But then the older brother also starts to become a little more playful as you go on through the game. So he takes more chances. He's less about business and more about enjoying life and things like that. So it's just neat to watch those sorts of things. I don't know if we want to talk about this now, but there's another achievement that you missed that I thought was an interesting one. With the man that's trying to hang himself, you can actually fail to save him.
Oh, man.
So I think you chose to save him, or you were able to save him.
Yes.
And that that ending of that situation was him sitting on the ground and crying.
Mm-hmm.
There is a situation where you don't save him and he dies. And it's one of those things that you sit there and you look at it if you're looking at this game and realizing what this game is about, talking about life and how it works and how you grow and death and sorrow and, you know, things like that, grieving. You kind of look at that man and try and figure out what's the better option. You know, dying and possibly being with the people that he was missing, or being alive and really sad.
Yeah.
You know, you sit there and you look at that situation and it's, I think that's what the game is getting at through a lot of these interactions, is what we do affects other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be good, it could be bad, it could be somewhere in the middle. Life is life, and you live it, and you move on.
That's super, super interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of little things like that everywhere.
Yeah. I always take issue, well, I shouldn't phrase it that way, I guess, but, I remember being really bothered by the fact that I saved that man from hanging himself, which we just stumble upon, as we're walking. Like, there's not really, a big setup or anything like that for anything that happens in this game. It's just boom, there's the next thing right there, you know? But after we saved him, he's just sitting there crying,
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do.
You can't, talk to him or anything. Like, you can't, you know, there's no story behind that, you know what I mean? And I almost, I don't want to say, I felt bad, but I was just, I felt bad for leaving, I guess, because, I didn't feel like I was done.
Yeah, there's no resolution there.
Right. I found that a little bit uncomfortable, I guess.
Yeah.
There are a couple of other instances in the game where you find some NPCs that you actually get to help, and there are very positive outcomes, like the pair of trolls that you get to reunite with one another, which was really cool. I'm trying to remember where the first troll we find at the top of a mountain, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's just sitting there crying. So we sort of do our gesture and our little
sim speak.
Sim speak. I think I read on Wikipedia that it was actually based off of, it was Lebanese Arabic.
Yeah, the person who developed this, which I'm horrible, I can't remember his name right now. That is his native language, was Lebanese, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of wrote, I read somewhere that he wrote this semi-based on his language and kind of pulled some other stuff together, but really wanted to make sure that it wasn't an actual language and that they talked to the actors and he basically told them, this is what you're saying, but it doesn't actually mean anything, you know, just so that they could get the inflection in their voice and that kind of thing. But
it's pretty cool.
But that also kind of makes it more accessible too, because you're having to use something other than language to understand what's going on and intuit that throughout the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually really interesting to think about. Like the sheer amount of, or that's how should I say this? How much more broad the audience for this game can be just by the fact that it's not driven by spoken dialogue.
Yeah.
Which is really cool to think about. So we find this troll. We find the troll at the top of the mountain. He's just crying. So we talk to him, and he starts to sort of help us traverse this mountain range, you know, by, you know, just various things, even as far as just, literally laying down between two mountains so we can just, walk across. And it was super cute, right?
Yeah. We're throwing us
yes. across yes, a chasm. The throwing was hilarious. It was really good. So we end up being led to appears in the game to be a lady troll who is trapped in a cage for some reason. Again, we don't know why, and the why doesn't really matter. It's just another puzzle that we have to solve, right? And another instance of, you know, these two brothers being able to work together for a common goal. And sort of you as the player being able to work together with yourself at the same time. Because there's a lot of times where the game will not only just give you, okay, this brother has to do this action, and then this brother has to do this other action. There are also a lot of times, especially as the game progresses, where you are doing two different things at the same time. So you end up reuniting the pair of trolls, and you know, they go off and they're happy together, and you know, Nai's just, you know, waving and, you know, like flailing and like, okay, bye. You know, it's just super cute. And then the inventor, the inventor that you helped to, which was really cool. So just lots of tiny little, I don't want to call them side quests, cause like they're on the way, but just things that don't necessarily have anything to do with the main narrative, but are just, you know, little bits of character progression and just like super warm, fuzzy feels, which was just great.
I think a lot of the small things, though, that also do have like a whole other meaningful layer, because there are a few things since I've watched it played a couple of times now, and I've played it several times myself. There are still a couple of things that I've caught afterwards that are almost backstory that you can link. Really? You can link together. I'm trying to think of a good example. There are some symbols that you see in the village. There's one village that you visit after you've left your home that show up in the castle where the giants live.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost looks like, and the people that created the game have not laid this out, and there are a lot of fan theories about this, that, you know, the people that created the game have not laid out exactly what the backstory is, but they said that there are clues and that it was written and they knew it, but they never really published the information because they wanted to leave it open-ended for people. For that same reason we were talking about the language, making it more accessible to people, because there isn't like a set thing that you have to know or believe to enjoy the game. So some of the fan theories are things like the idea that the giants lived in an area and then the humans moved in and kind of pushed them out, very much in a like a fairy tale sort of way, where magic has been pushed out of places and, you know, things like that we see in fairy tales a lot. And I think the whole game really has like a Grimm's fairy tale kind of feel to it, where you go on this epic quest adventure and see miraculous things and have to experience magic and, you know, things like that that are just very larger than life.
Right.
But yeah, part of that background, I think, was that some of these fan theories are talking about the history, because later on in the game, then we see like an epic giant battle has occurred.
Yes.
And we meet this group of like tribal humans that are worshiping some kind of blood god, you know, and all sorts of crazy things. So there are different little pieces that they kind of tried to sneak in there to tie stuff together.
I don't know. On one hand, it's easy to sit there and, you know, wish for more explanation and you know, more story and things like that. But ultimately, for what the game was trying to do, I thought the execution was perfect, honestly. As much as, you know, part of me is like sitting here going like, oh my god, I need more. Like,
yeah,
tell me everything. You know, it's not always necessary.
There's one fan theory that is that the whole adventure is actually in Nai's head.
What? Excuse me?
So, like, from the moment of Dad being sick, that they imagine that the whole adventure is just like in Nai's head. He's having a dream about losing his parents and being stressed about it, and, you know, it's all about growing up and his brother possibly getting older and moving away and not wanting his brother to move away, you know, things like that. Just a whole, I don't know, metaphor for life, basically, is the fan theory.
Man, so there's, so that actually, I'm curious now, if you sort of take that and like you just completely start to run with it, right? If the story is most of the story is played out in the younger brother's head and is mostly about sort of personal growth in life separating him from his older brother.
Mm-hmm.
One of the really big moments that happened in this game is when we find the you know, the blood tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what happens there is, you know, there's some sort of ritual going on, and there's a lady, and she's, you know, tied up in front of all these, you know, tribesmen. And they're chanting something, and it's just like really dark and intense, right? So the two brothers end up finding a symbol that apparently represents, you know, this tribe's god or one of them, however you want to phrase that. And we are able to basically piggyback off of each other, and they think that we are this deity, and we use that to our advantage to save this woman, right?
Which I have to point out that we do realize that we look at this situation, and I just have to point out that because it's a woman, we were like, oh, let's save her. If it was a man tied up, we probably would have been like, yeah, he probably did something wrong.
I don't know.
Like, why are they sacrificing this guy? He probably was bad.
I suppose that's fair.
I just think it's fun. It's just a funny thing.
Yeah. I think though that it being a woman ends up, you know, being important just in a sort of the most basic of storytelling senses, just because. So basically this woman, she doesn't basically like start to come with us, but she starts to take us somewhere, right? She, if you interact with her, she sort of just snubs the little brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's very, like, very playfully attentive. Seductive,
yeah.
Yes, to the older brother. And so she ends up taking us to a cave, and she is suddenly not a person anymore.
Which
she is.
The cave is also kind of a metaphor.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Well, that's another one of those symbolism type of things with fairy tales. If you study fairy tales, a lot of times there are different indications of like sexual types of things having to do with going inside of caves. So
fair enough.
She invited us inside.
You know, I've not studied fairy tales, so a lot of the symbolism is generally lost on me unless it's explained. But I was actually thinking more once we get into this cave, right, and we discover that she is a spider queen and she basically just wants to eat us.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really ever like combat in this game per se. This is probably the closest that you ever get to it. We end up killing her, right? By basically knocking her over and pulling her legs off. But before the fight is over, of course, the older brother is stabbed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a big wound right in the chest, right before she dies. And that was actually sort of what I was leaning towards being representative of sex, you know, in a relationship and things like that. And the younger brother sort of seeing this and that. And if it is all in his head, sort of being an allegory to losing his brother to pursuits of a relationship and growth in that way.
Mm-hmm. And ones that don't involve Nai.
Right.
Yeah.
100%. That's crazy. No, I didn't realize that there were so many like fan theories for this game. I love hearing about those.
Yeah, there's actually a whole Reddit about people discussing things and what they think it means, and yeah, it's very interesting. I had written down a couple of notes about different things, especially about the whole thing being a dream. It was just so a little bit before the spider lady.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was before, or was it right after? I don't remember. I think it was before. We had the moment where we almost drowned, and then we dreamt or imagined that our brother was trying to kill us.
Yes. So, oh my god, that came out of nowhere.
What did you think about that? I have some theories, but I want to see what you think about it.
It was just, okay, so we have this sort of dream where, as the younger brother, where I don't remember specifically where we were, but I remember we see our mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's like a giant, basically.
And she has her hand over top of our father, like holding on to him.
Mm-hmm. And so what happens is, so we end up sort of climbing up there, just so we're like face to face with her, with our father sitting right there. And at one point, our older brother basically just starts to like choke us out, just seemingly like out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I took enough time to process it, honestly. Like it was honestly just completely out of nowhere for me as far as like what it meant or anything like that.
So what I kind of took from it is that was the first time in the game that as the younger brother, as Nai, that was the first time in the game that we were ever really in danger.
Mm.
And it was also water, which is a huge fear for him.
Yes.
He's afraid of the water. He can't swim. He feels guilty for not being able to save his mother because of that, because she drowned. And so I was kind of seeing that as at that point in the game, we just almost drowned. This was the first time that we ever really felt in danger and like our brother couldn't save us or our brother wasn't there to like take care of us. And so I kind of think that was maybe Nai's panic. You know, as he's unconscious, his last thoughts maybe were, I'm going to die. And so when he climbs up there with his mother who has passed and his father who is nearing death and his mother's like grasping him, trying to take him with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks up to her and like pets her face and, you know, is kind of saying, I miss you, mom. And, you know, things like that, that, you know, maybe he's right there on that precipice of maybe it wouldn't be so bad if we didn't make it, because then at least we'd all be together, you know, or something like that.
So what's curious to me is the way that I would interpret that, at least just on like a surface level, because there is the direct action of our older brother literally choking us.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I see that as him in some way feeling like his brother is the cause for this destruction.
It could be. I thought about that also, but I also kind of think that with Nai approaching the mom and being like, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. And during that part, his brother's just kind of like, I don't know, a zombie in the background. He was kind of swaying back and forth, and he wasn't really, you tried to call to him and he didn't answer you, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I think that possibly his brother attacking him was him trying to keep him from going to his mom and keep him in the land of the living.
It was so violent, though.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was not something that I feel like was conveyed at all. Like, it was very, like,
but
intense and raw and, like, this is what's happening right now. And not any sort of, like, a, hey, wake up, you know what I mean? Nothing like that.
Well, and it could also, you know, I also have a part of my brain, too, that kind of agrees with you. That maybe he was blaming his brother, or maybe it was just anxiety over... how do I want to say this? Like, his brother took him on this journey with him, and he's not ready, and he's gonna kill us, you know?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Just with, I feel like the interactions between them are generally very positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just something like that totally, it's just totally out of left field for me. But yeah, that definitely does make sense, for sure.
And that was right before the Spider Lady, too, so that kind of added more stress between them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we ended up meeting the Spider Lady, that was even more... Nai was going, you know, you keep just getting further and further away from me.
Yes.
And I don't understand your actions, and I don't understand this because, you know, he's not old mm-hmm. enough yet or something like that.
You know what is really interesting is, although the game has a very dark premise and a very dark setup, I think that a lot of times we as consumers expect some sort of redemption mm-hmm. from things like this, where if there is a thought process where our relationship is strained with our brother and this is how the game is presenting it to us, you know, obviously we're going to get to a point where that is addressed, right? Mm-hmm. And it is hopefully resolved. But this game holds nothing back as far as that goes. There is no redemption in this game, at least not directly.
And I think that goes back to some of the things we were talking about earlier about the man that was hanging himself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no resolution there. And I think that's intended. You know, there's a lot of things in this game that there's no resolution because life isn't that neat.
So is that something that you sort of feel like the narrative was trying to convey as a whole?
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. I feel like this game is very much looking at the way life is through this fairy tale lens and epic stories.
It's sort of a contrast, right, between fantastical stories that are generally meant to... I don't want to say that... This probably isn't the right way to say this, but like... almost disregarding their content completely, right? You still have this idea of fantasy, of this is an escape, right?
Mm-hmm.
From, you know, whatever terrible things that happen in your everyday life. But I guess the way the game sort of mixes and mingles those together is could be mm-hmm. sort of a way to convey that it's not healthy to get lost in those sorts of things.
Yeah,
because then you end up not being able to understand what's actually going on around you and to deal with that properly.
Mm-hmm. When I also think that again, with my literature background, understanding literature and stories and things, that fairy tales and fantasy are often used to teach us some kind of moral or something about life. At least they were. I think that still happens today, but it's maybe not as ingrained in our society as, you know, an oral culture or something like that. But
mm-hmm.
They were often meant to teach us something about life that maybe was hard to describe, but we could see it in metaphor and how other people dealt with something that was fantastical but mm-hmm. relatable.
And then of course in the style of this game, you know, there are instances where we are not in some sort of a fantastical environment, like it's the end of the fairy tale, but we're still sort of living it to an extent because
mm-hmm.
after our older brother is, you know, stabbed by the Spider Lady, he's dead. That's it.
Yeah.
And not only is he dead, but the game actually has us bury him mm-hmm. and perform every action that entails, which is just such a gut punch and so intense and absolutely reinforces the importance of keeping that distinction between fantasy and reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so intense and... yeah, it's fantastically told, but yeah, it's quite the ride overall.
That scene with having to bury our brother,
mm-hmm.
I bawled. even the second time that I played it, and I knew it was coming. It's just so emotional. And the game actually, for anybody that hasn't played it, the game actually makes you take his body and put it in the grave and push the dirt over.
Yeah.
You know, it's very slow. And the whole time, Nai is just grief-stricken and moving much more slowly than he usually does. The controls are sluggish.
Yes.
And it's just really moving in a very realistic way. The way we were talking about in the beginning, how the controls force you to kind of invest your whole brain into the game. I feel like this was a culmination of that. That,
yeah.
You know, you aren't just like, oh darn, one of my characters died, and although I care about them, it's still a game. You feel that loss.
Absolutely. It's such a... How can I put this? It was so... I felt, like, empty, almost,
mm-hmm.
after it happened, because, of course, our journey is not over at that point. We are still on a mission to save our father, to get to the Tree of Life and to get this water that we need to hopefully cure him from whatever his ailment is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are immediately continuing the game, but you suddenly don't have this left hand, right hand coordination anymore. It's like literally half of me just felt empty immediately, like something was just missing. And I found it really interesting because something that I actually noticed that I was doing without even paying attention is I was still controlling both sticks. I was still pulling both sticks to control both characters, even though I only had one left. And I remember having this moment where, like, oh my God, like, I'm still using this other stick and my older brother isn't even there anymore, right? And if you, and this is something that I read about later that I didn't actually do, but if you push the trigger for the older brother and there's nothing to interact with, apparently he will just, like, start sobbing.
Yep.
The game did such a good job of making the way that you control the game, making the way that you control the game be just as emotional as the story itself, I guess. And then there are, so as you continue, there are points where, and this again does get a little bit, you know, fantastical and isn't really, it's a little bit confusing in its lack of explanation, I guess. But, you know, you encounter water again. If you try to trigger the younger brother just by himself, you know, he still will not go in the water, right? But then he hears his older brother's voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's able to swim, and he's able to jump up on these high ledges that his older brother would have had to boost him on before, and
when you actually,
and things like that.
It's not just that you hear him, you actually have to use the brother's controls.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure, with you using them anyway without realizing it, did you realize?
I really noticed.
Yeah. Uh-uh. So that was another point at which I cried. Is I actually stood at the water for quite some time, not knowing how to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you use the younger brother's controls to do things, it won't let you go. You sit there, and it's not until you start using the older brother's controls as well that you are actually able to swim. So you have to use, you know, your brother is, you hear your brother when you do that, and it's like he is still with you in spirit. Mm-hmm. He has taught you his strength and, you know, taught you how to move on in life without him.
I was going to say that I guess that's sort of the whole point. Right. But it does sort of, me saying that sort of poses an interesting question. Does the game have a protagonist in the classic sense?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because if you take that into context, mm-hmm. I wonder if it is the younger brother, if the game is sort of about his story instead of being about, you know, trying to save our father.
Yeah.
And about growing up with a sibling and learning to be your own person without them, as well as being your own person with them.
Yeah, definitely.
Can I ask, do you have any siblings, Everly?
I do. I have an older brother.
Now, if you have anything to share, I'm curious. Do you feel like this game sort of pushed any buttons with you at all as far as the relationship with your siblings goes?
Yeah, a little bit. My brother and I are not close. Mm-hmm. Mostly because we're so far apart in age, but you know, I look at other people that have siblings that are super close and kind of wish for that.
Yeah.
And it's not that, you know, my brother and I don't care for each other. It's just that we didn't really have a whole lot of interaction. My mother always teases us and says that she has two only children because he was grown up and gone by the time I realized he existed as a little kid. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting for us to interact now as an adult. He remembers me as a very small child. He didn't really wasn't around when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting now that how we're learning each other and learning who we are, and maybe how I imagined him is different than who he is now that I'm older and I can see. But yeah, I don't know if that'll be useful to the podcast or not, but we can certainly use it if you want to. And actually, one of the other things that I wasn't sure if we wanted to talk about was the person who is the name of the person that did this. Yeah, Joseph or Yosef. So yeah, I wasn't sure if we wanted to talk about this or not, but the scene with burying the brother, I read an interview that Joseph Farah, he actually, as an experience, as a child, his mother had a stillborn baby, and I think he said he was 7, and
oh, wow.
Basically his mother handed him his brother and told him to bury him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And that was an experience that he drew on for creating this game. Yeah. And that scene.
My first reaction is like, why? You know, like...
Well, and it was, you know, it was a different time, a different country. He even mentioned that, you know, in where he's living now, I believe he's in somewhere in the UK or in the United States. He said there would be people that would sit there and be like, you know, who would do that to a child? He said, mm-hmm. But where he grew up in the country that was war-torn and, you know, just dying inside sometimes, that was just life. And that everybody, that's just the way things were. And mm-hmm. And he said, you know, making this game was one of those things, like we were just saying about the overreaching idea of this game is life is sometimes messy. And, you know, how you deal with it and move on is the important part and what you learn from it.
Absolutely. I was doing a little bit of reading here. So he grew up in Lebanon during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he did an interview with Polygon, actually, which I'm sort of skimming right now.
Yeah, I think that was the interview I read.
Yeah, it's the war. He says the war was, Ferris hesitates, and you get the sense it's not from a lack of words. And then he says, I experienced a lot of things a child should not. It was really, really bad. I don't know if you could say it scarred me or anything, but it definitely changed me into the man I am now. I don't know. I just have this very strong confidence now whenever I go into something new. And that's him talking about, you know, exploring you know, getting into cinema and video games.
Yeah.
And of course, for those who may not be aware, he also directed and wrote A Way Out.
Yes.
Which is another very unique co-op adventure, which you know, we will definitely talk about on the podcast at some point. It's absolutely fantastic.
There's actually an Easter egg for brothers in A Way mm-hmm. Out.
I haven't watched that video that you sent me yet. Are we able to talk about that without spoiling anything in that game? Is that
possible? Oh yeah, I think so. It's just a small scene in A Way Out that the two characters are out in the woods somewhere and they sit down on a bench together, which you throughout the game in Brothers, and it does that camera swing to show you the scenery. Mm-hmm. And then you hear both Nai and Naya calling to each other. And the camera swings back and the characters in A Way Out then have a small discussion about, did you hear that? And, you know, they sound like they're brothers and, you know, things like that. And it's just a really neat Easter egg. Just, yeah. Tipping their hat to that one.
I very much long for more games like this. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I've always said that I'm not very picky when it comes to games. I'll generally play anything and find something that I enjoy.
Definitely.
But this game and A Way Out, just in its execution of cooperative gameplay, was so unique. And it's rare to have a game that can take something as basic as a control scheme and make it just as emotional and just as impactful as the narrative itself.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it. So I very much appreciate the recommendation.
You're welcome. Thank you for playing it.
Of course. And thank you for coming on the podcast to discuss it with me. Is there anything else that we should touch on before we wrap it up, do you think?
I think we covered all the things, yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, very much appreciated once again. Thank you for being here. Would you like to tell the internet a little bit about yourself and where they can find you?
My name is Everly Dawn, and I do stream on Twitch. I do not have a regular schedule, but I try and do it as I can.
And what type of games do you like to play?
I like games exactly like this that have an amazing story in them. Indie type games, adventure, things that make you think and just have a great story behind them. Those are my favorites.
Awesome. And that is at twitch.tv/everlydawn.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. Okay. Yay! We did it!
Yay!
The Deep Dive Podcast is brought to you by PBTV. You can find us at deepdivecast.com as well as on Twitter and Instagram at deepdivecast. If you like what you heard, please consider rating and reviewing us on iTunes as well as visiting us on Patreon at Pumpkinberry, where you can support the Deep Dive directly and gain various perks such as black and white Deep Dive wallpapers, bonus episode content, high quality downloads, and of course the knowledge that you, the listener, are keeping the Deep Dive afloat. You can also join us every Monday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern when we premiere new episodes live and have a deep dive discussion with you, the listener, right there in chat at twitch.tv/pumpkinberry. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time, divers.
The Deep Dive Podcast is proudly part of the Geek Generation Network. For more podcasts about your favorite geeky things like games or your favorite shows, browse our whole library at thegeekgeneration.com.